From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Michelle Norris. We return now to a topic we explored yesterday. Children who feel they are trapped in a body that's the wrong gender. Boys who, at 2 or 3 years old, began to insist they were girls. We told the story of two sets of parents faced with this problem who made different choices about what to do.
Today, NPR's Elise Spiegel reports on a controversial new medical treatment for preteens who wish to live as a member of the opposite sex. This is one family's story. To protect their privacy, we will not use their full names.
Like many 11-year-old girls, Violet has a favorite movie star, Bette Midler, and a favorite color, pink, and also a favorite video game. In her case, Daphne fights for fashion.
That's Daphne. She gets her pink outfit stolen by these Hawaiian men, and then she fights them and to get back her outfit. It sort of looks like this.
On a recent Tuesday afternoon, as Daphne Fights for Fashion played on the family computer, Violet became totally absorbed by the action-adventure for girls. She commented on the outfits of each character, pointing out in particular a pair of tall pink boots.
And she even says these boots are made for kicking.
So does it show the dress?
I think it's on the fourth level, but no one has ever been through the fourth level. It's like impossible.
Like her video's heroine, Violet is engaged in a near impossible fight, in her case, against her own body. Within the next year, Violet will start a new medical treatment, which will keep her from entering puberty. For the next 3 or 4 years, while she is on this medication, her body will grow bigger, but not mature sexually. The reason that Violet will take this medication is because while she feels she's a girl, she was born Armand, a boy. Now, to understand why Violet's parents would take the radical step of allowing their child to change her name, live as a girl, and take a highly controversial medical treatment, it's helpful to know something about Violet's life. Violet didn't want to be interviewed about this part of her story. She is shy about this topic. But Violet's mother, Danielle, says signs of gender confusion came early. She remembers that at the age of 2, her toddler son put on a costume discarded by his older sister, a Minnie Mouse dress the family had gotten at Disneyland.
And she would not take it off. I mean, it was feet in a stance, strong stance, and just standing there and was like, no. And then she pretty much, from that point on, slept in it, stayed in it all day. It was just really hard to get it off of her.
Violet's parents, Danielle and Robert, now refer to their child using the pronoun she. But they made this change only 9 months ago, and it didn't come easily. To put it mildly, Danielle and Robert did not want their son to wear a dress. They did not want him to play with Barbie dolls. Danielle and Robert tried to limit all of this behavior. But even when their son was small, whenever they did this, he would become enraged. And Robert says the older he got, the more explosive the behavior became.
Terrible twos became terrible threes and fours and horrible fives and intolerable sixes. She seemed on edge all the time.
There were two-hour tantrums, tornadoes of tears and screaming that left the family exhausted. Any comment could set Violet, then Armand, off. And once triggered, there was no controlling him.
It didn't matter what we did, if we took toys away, if we took the TV away. She would still be just as explosive, and the behavior would just be out of control.
At that point, Robert says, he and Danielle had never heard of children who believed themselves to be the opposite sex. They didn't understand the depth of their child's female identification, and they were stunned by the intensity of his anger, even at the age of 6.
One night, I remember it got so bad, where she was so out of control. I literally walked her out the front door and said, you need to stay. It was probably at 11 o'clock at night. And I walked her out the front door, closed the door, because I didn't know what to do.
Robert remembers standing with Danielle beside the door, listening to his son scream.
Pounding on the door. And us, my wife and I, looking at each other going, what is happening? Why is this child so unhappy? What have we done?
Naturally, the family sought help from counselors, from psychologists, psychiatrists, even forensic psychiatrists. Only their son seemed to understand what was going on. Danielle says that sometimes, during quiet moments, like the ride from school, Violet, then Armand, would confess to his mother what was causing so much trouble.
lot of times she'd come out and say, you know, I'm a girl. No, first it was, I want to be a girl. Then it's like, no, I am a girl. And she'd ask me if I think she was crazy. And I said, no, honey, you know, it's okay. And in the front, you know, I'm driving going, the face of like, oh my gosh, what is this?
But Danielle and Robert could not, would not accept that their child was a girl trapped in a boy's body. Not until early last summer, when it finally became clear just how desperate their 10-year-old son had become. Robert and Danielle's oldest child, 14-year-old Melina, tells the story.
I just remember she came storming in the kitchen, and my mom and I were getting ready for dinner and everything, and she just took the knife from the counter. She was like, I'm going to kill myself, I'm going to kill myself. And then she was all cussing and stuff, and she was pointing the knife towards herself. And I just remember running out of the room because I just didn't want to see that. And I, my mom just like held my sister and just like put the knife down and just like was holding her and like, what are you trying to do? And then it just like exploded into this huge, you know, I hate the world and everything. And it was really, it was really scary.
Danielle says the more desperate her child became, the easier it was to accept her son's identity as a girl.
You know, to hear your child say, you know, I don't want to be on this earth anymore unless I can be who I am. And you see the desperation in their face. It's not, okay, I'm throwing a tantrum for attention. You know, we have seen this desperation in this child. Just, why can't I be this way? Why, you know, why can't you accept me? Why can't people see me for who I am? I mean, it was just, became very real for us how this child was screaming out and saying, hey, listen to me. This is who I am. And I need to be me.
Finally, the family found a psychologist who had experience with gender issues. At the end of a 2-month evaluation, he gave them a diagnosis, gender identity disorder. That's what this kind of behavior pattern is called in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, the mental health diagnostic book used by psychologists and psychiatrists. The doctor explained that their son would, in all likelihood, grow up to be transgender, someone who lives as a member of the opposite sex. Robert and Danielle say that at that point, the diagnosis was more of a relief than shock. They decided almost immediately to stop trying to force their son to live as a boy. But it also made the family think, with some anxiety, about the future.
We knew that puberty was around the corner, and we needed to start looking into, what do we do? How do we help this child, you know, develop in a way that is consistent with who she is?
Which is how they came to find out about the treatment that could postpone puberty. The treatment began in the U.S. around 4 years ago, and one of the earliest practitioners was an endocrinologist at Children's Hospital in Boston named Norman Spack. Spack says doctors have actually been able to block sex hormones for decades. The technique has been used to treat everything from prostate cancer to fibroids. But it was only about 10 years ago that a medical group in the Netherlands decided to use it on kids like Violet.
They had the idea. They decided to see what would happen if they took such a child who was in such distress over their body taking the form that they feared. Because remember, between the ages of about 4 or 5 until puberty, kids are just a larger version of themselves every day. And boys and girls, depending on how they wear their hair or dress, can look exactly the same. And with puberty, that all changes.
To put off puberty, children around 10, 11, 12, 13 are injected once a month with hormone blockers. Spack explains that the only thing the blockers affect are the gonads, the organs responsible for turning boys into men and girls into women.
If you can block the gonads, that is the ovary or the testis, from making its sex steroids, that being estrogen or testosterone, then you can literally prevent almost all the physical differences between the genders.
Without testosterone, boys will not grow facial hair or body hair. Their voices will not deepen. There will be no Adam's apple and less height. Without estrogen, girls will not develop breasts, fat at the hip, periods. And since most growth happens before puberty, if you block estrogen and therefore puberty, girls will grow taller, closer to a typical male height. Spack opens a file drawer and rifles through a folder. He brings out a picture of a teenager who's on the hormone blockers. Posed by the railing of a cruise ship in a floor-length dress, her head is thrown back, the wind sweeps her hair, there is a huge smile on her face, and nothing to suggest that this 14-year-old girl was once known as he.
This is a genetic male. She's coming to see me tomorrow, okay, and she's blossoming. All her anxieties spilled out the window.
So that's the first stage of treatment. But there's another stage that children like Violet will have to make a decision about in a few years. Once children have postponed puberty for several years, at around the age of 16, they can choose to begin maturing sexually into the opposite gender, the gender that they want to become. To do that, they begin taking the hormones of the opposite sex. For males, taking estrogen at this point will bring on breast and hip growth and all of the attributes, physical and emotional, of females. The reverse will happen for girls who take testosterone. Spack says this treatment can help make a transgender male almost indistinguishable from a biological male.
We can make it possible that they can fit in the way they want to. It is quite amazing.
However, if puberty is not blocked, if it is allowed to happen naturally and sexual maturity takes place on time, fitting in as a transgender adult is harder. An adult man who chooses to become a woman by taking estrogen will still tower over other women with larger hands and feet, a pronounced brow, facial and body hair they have to get rid of, things that can set them apart and make day-to-day life more difficult. This is the fate that, Robert and Danielle say, they hope to help Violet avoid. Violet will soon start the hormone blockers, and in the meantime, she's living as a girl.
When we officially knew that she was transgender, it was like, what do you need? You tell us. You know, we weren't going to try to control. We'd been doing that for years. So it was just like, what do you need? What do you want?
Violet was clear. She wanted to be Violet, not Armand. She wanted to be known as their daughter, not their son. Robert and Danielle agreed. The first official day of Violet's new life was August 19th of last year, the first day of a family vacation. Violet was 10. Robert says that her emotional transformation that day was immediate and nothing short of astonishing.
I was the happiest kid I'd ever seen. Just lit up. Just funny and brilliant and these things that we caught glimpses of that weren't always there. If you met her once when she was Armand and met her a day after that holiday, that vacation, you would think it was a different child.
Just to see her skipping, you know, being at my sister's house and watching her skip out of the room. She just looked freer, like a load was lifted off her shoulder.
Since the transition, there have not been any real outbursts. Still, there have been challenges. Despite his support for Violet, Robert somehow could not bring himself to tell his relatives that his son was now his daughter. Then in the fall, Robert's father died. A week later, when Robert showed up at the funeral home holding his new daughter's hand, the first person he saw was the priest. He introduced Violet, and they talked for a couple of minutes. Then the service started. From the pulpit, the priest spoke of how this death might affect family members. He mentioned in particular one grandchild, a little girl named Violet, who loved playing in her granddad's yard.
And I was in the front sitting next to my mother, and I could hear and sense the entire family behind me looking around each other in a very confused manner, going, "Who's Violet? Who's Violet?"
It was at the reception that Robert finally told his relatives.
All my aunts, seven of them, were sitting in a semicircle, and I have one aunt who's kind of the matriarch. She's clearly in charge. And my aunt asked, she said, "Bobby, I thought you had a boy." And I said, "Well, Thea, I did have a son, but I found out that I really never did have a son. What I have is two daughters. Armand is transgender. And what that means is that even though that he has a male body, she's really a girl. And her name is Violet. And I want you to meet her again." And I called Violet over and I said, "Honey, come here." And she comes skipping over and I said, "Do you remember all your Thias?" You know, and I went through and then she skipped off and I was ready for whatever was going to come. And there was a little bit of a silence. And they were all kind of looking at my one aunt, who was clearly in charge. And she looked at me and she says, "You know, Bobby, I'm really proud of you." She said, "It couldn't have been easy." It couldn't have been easy to accept that. And I'm very proud of you.
Robert says that since the family event and Violet's transition, there's been a new level of peace in his household, a liberating clarity.
There's no doubt at this point in our lives that we have a transgender child. And there's no doubt in our mind that we're going to do what we can to help her.
But not everyone believes that it is possible to know with this level of certainty that a child is transgender. In fact, there are two views on this. Polly Carmichael is a British psychologist who works at a place called the Portman Clinic in London, which has a unit specifically dedicated to gender identity. She says the identity of most children this age is in constant flux.
You can have a child who's presenting with absolute certainty, and yet it may be that at a later stage they decide that actually that's not what they want, and they find perhaps, you know, another solution to their feelings, or their feelings indeed change.
The Portman Clinic has treated 124 kids since 1989. They require children to live as the gender they were born with. And looking at their patients, they have found that 80% of them chose as adults to keep their biological gender. The opposite outcome was seen by the researchers in the Netherlands who first developed the hormone blocking treatment. They've treated 100 patients and all chose as adults to live as the opposite sex. So the verdict is still out about how many kids with gender identity disorder will choose sex reassignment as adults. And this makes deciding on treatment very difficult, because there is one very serious side effect to the second part of the treatment. Taking testosterone or estrogen after blocking puberty will make a teenage patient sterile. Again, Norman Spack.
This is, I personally believe, one of the most controversial aspects of this, and that is, at what age can a young person fully understand the implications of doing something that will make fertility for them, by today's technology, virtually impossible?
Spack points out, though, that there is no risk of infertility from hormone blockers alone. So he says hormone blockers really should be seen as a treatment that gives families more time to think about what to do.
It's a lot different to be talking to a 14, 15, 16-year-old about the implications of this than a 10 to 12-year-old. And so it buys you time, buys time without the tremendous fear of their body getting out of control.
Violet's father, Robert, remains absolutely certain that Violet is genuinely transgender, and he finds himself almost offended when people suggest that he and his family have been too quick to embrace a transgender diagnosis.
It puzzles me because we even have well-intentioned parents who we care about and who know us and who care about us say, well, you know, she's too young to know. Well, when did you know you were a girl? When did I know I was a boy? I knew my whole life. I can't tell you exactly when, but it wasn't like I was 10 and realized, oh, gee, I must be a boy. What people fail to realize is they made that decision way earlier than that. It just happened that their gender identity and their anatomy matched.
In terms of how Violet herself thinks about hormone blockers, her dad, Robert, says that she's made it very clear that she does not want to grow into a man. And her sister Melina says that the problem of puberty is very, very much on her mind.
You know, she's getting hair in some places and stuff, and she, you know, she just feels, every day she says that she feels a little bit more manly, which is really hard for her because just waking up, that's a big shock. So she says that she doesn't like taking a shower. She hates undressing. She hates going to the pool.
Melina says she sometimes thinks about what it would be like if she woke up every day to a body that was slowly turning male, growing in ways that felt alien and frightening.
To go through the process of the gender that you're really not, I just think that must be the most scariest, disgusting thing. I can't even imagine what that's like.
As for Spack, he says doing this work makes you think about gender and life, really, in a completely different way.
You start to realize what's really important in this world. Mm-hmm. You start to realize what's really important. And I don't think there's anything is who you are. Who you are.
Violet's fight for who she is will doubtless continue. Whether this treatment will simplify that quest or complicate it will become clear in time. Elise Spiegel, NPR News, Washington.
At our website, you can read more from the doctors in this story about the benefits and risks of the puberty-blocking treatment. That's at npr.org/health.